This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Oanda senior market analyst Kelvin Wong in Singapore. Kelvin, good morning from London. How are you?
Hey, hi. Good afternoon over at my end, and good morning to you, Johnny.
Now, we've got a very busy week ahead with plenty to come from most of the big central banks. But before we discuss that, let's look at the markets as they stand at the moment, particularly in your part of the world, in Asia Pacific. A lot of China data coming out today. That effect on the stock markets is interesting. We've also got oil price movement as well. We'll talk about that. But let's first talk about the Chinese data and what implications that's had for stock markets where you are.
Yeah, sure. So there are actually three key Chinese data out today in today's Asia session. So two of them actually came in below expectation or below estimates, which is the industrial output and the retail sales for August. So industrial output rose at a slower pace at 5.2% year on year, slowing from 5.7% in July, missing forecasts of 5.8%, and also retail sales grew at 3.4%, which is short of the consensus estimates of 3.8% year on year. So given the fact that the earlier boost on the consumer trade-in program has starts to faded. But one particular positive outcome will be there could be a silver lining for the Chinese property market that has been in the doldrums since post-COVID. So we talk about that's about four years back. So we know that the China property market has the bubble has bursted four or five years ago, and we start to see a significant decline in the home prices, which is one of the key drivers that actually drive that deflationary risk scare in the Chinese economy. So what's interesting over here is that home prices, which is also released today as well, for the 70 major cities, yes, they continue to decline, but the rate of decline has starts to slow down significantly in the last 3 months. So for the month of August, it actually declined by negative 2.5%. So that was a slower pace compared to the previous month, which is in July of 2.8%, and also comparatively to April print of negative 4% year on year. So what we could see over here is that the dramatic decline that was seen in the start of this year. So start of this year, in fact, in January, it actually declined by negative 5%. So from January this year all the way until August, the rate of decline has been gradually negated or getting smaller. So it actually represents a potential turning point in the Chinese housing market. That means, i.e., whatever policy that the China policymakers has tried to address to actually tempered with the slowdown of the pace of the China home prices seems to be working, and that actually created a positive reaction to the Chinese stock market and the Hong Kong stock market. So by the end of today's Asia session, both the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index closed up by 0.2%, and also the China CSI 300 also reacted positively as well with a gain of 0.2%. And on top of this, we do have also the fourth round of a very interesting, or I would say tricky trade talks negotiation between China and US that is to be held, that is taking place as we are speaking right now in Spain, which is the second day. They kickstart the first day yesterday, and after the first day have concluded, US President Trump spoke to several media outlets saying that talks were pretty much smooth. So one potential positive outcome that could actually arise out from this 4 day of US-China trade talks held in Spain that's to be concluded this coming Wednesday, which they already kickstarted on Sunday, will be a potential meetup between the two countries' leaders. That means, i.e., US President Trump meeting with China presidency next month, October, in the South Korea APEC meeting.
Now, talking of President Trump, Kelvin, he's made certain threats to Russia regarding sanctions, particularly affecting the oil market. And we have seen movement in the oil market over the last 48 hours, haven't we?
Yes, precisely. So very interesting movement in the oil prices, especially in the last 2 weeks. So what we could see over here is that US President Trump is getting a bit annoyed with Russia President Putin after his so-called peace talks with Russia and Ukraine has started to dwindle down over the last 7 days over here, given that both countries are now in a situation where they start to attack one another. So what US President Trump did over Sunday, he did mention that he is prepared to move ahead with major sanctions on Russia oil if NATO countries do the same. So that actually potentially created a short-term rally in oil prices as we are speaking right now. So due to the fact that we also now got to actually take into account of other factors that is impacting the oil market, especially with a rather weak U.S. External demand situation right now, or U.S. demand situation, where we start to see the flash data out from the University of Michigan consumer sentiment data that was out on last Friday, indicating that consumer sentiment actually continues to decline to a low level that is not seen in May this year. So yes, we may start to see oil price starts to rally today, Asia session. As we are speaking right now, they are up by 0.3%. But this 0.3% and the price movement on the oil price in the last few days from a technical perspective doesn't seem to have much legs over here. So it's more like a corrective rebound within a longer term or a medium-term downtrend phase. So a key resistance level to watch for this week on the West Texas crude oil price will be at the 64.36 US dollar per barrel. So that also will be the 20-day moving average that has kept a rebound that is being seen in oil prices in the last 2 weeks.
I mentioned the busy week that we've got ahead, particularly when it comes to the central bank announcements. Leading the way, of course, the US Fed on Wednesday. We're going to hear from the Bank of England and others. But we've talked about this for weeks, really, not just with you, but with Trader Nick. And we are looking at a nailed-on cut from the Fed shortly this week. At least 25 basis points. There has been some small talk of 50 basis points, but it's going to be a quarter point cut, isn't it?
Yes, precisely. So if you look at the CME FedWatch 2, taking into account the latest price action of the Fed Funds futures traders, yeah, 100% the market is pricing in a 25 basis point cut. So a very small chance, about less than about, 5% right now, they're looking at a 50 basis point cut. So in my own opinion, I don't think the Fed will do a 50 basis point cut because yes, we know that the labor market has starts to soften. There are several demand side US economic indicator or leading economic indicator has starts to weaken, especially the latest University of Michigan flash consumer sentiment data for September that was released on last Friday. But for a Fed to do a 50 basis point cut, that would indicate that something is much more disastrous that is actually wreaking underneath the US economy. So that could actually create an unnecessary negative shock to the risk asset in the US, and eventually that could actually lead to a much more weakening of the demand side, we call it a situation in the US economy. So I think that the Fed also do not want to actually create such panic as well. But what's interesting for the markets over here is will be the kind of a forward guidance portrayed by the Fed this time around, especially on this Wednesday meeting. We have the latest dot plot release, which is the latest economic projection, a summary of projection being done by the US Federal Reserve officials. So market will be paying very close attention to that dot plot. Why? Because that dot plot consists of US Federal Reserve forecast of where the Fed funds will be in 2026 and 2027. So what's interesting over here is that let me talk about the current pricing of the Fed funds futures traders on next year US Fed funds rate or trajectory. So based on the current pricing right now, Fed funds futures traders is expecting 3 more interest rate cut in 2026. So for now, they have penciled in 3 cuts in 2025. So that is one more cut more than the previous dot plot that has been projected by the Fed funds officials. So Fed funds officials only projected 2 interest rate cut in 2025. So for the Fed funds futures traders, they are more dovish. And now they are also looking for 3 more interest rate cuts by the Fed in 2026 to bring the Fed funds rate down to 2.75% and 3% by the time 2026 ends. So that is actually much lower than the previous dot plot that is being projected by the US Federal Reserve official in June, where they only expect the Fed funds rate to end at 3.6%. So that is more, that is 75 basis points higher than what the Fed funds futures trader is pricing right now. And also market will be looking at, would there be a downward adjustment to this US Fed funds rate as projected by the US Federal Reserve official in the previous dot plot release in the June FOMC meeting. So if there will be an adjustment downwards to what market is expecting, let's say around 2.75% to 3%, that would be indicating of a change of tonality by the Fed. And so most importantly to what will the Fed funds rate will be in 2027? Because in 2027, US Federal Reserve officials projected it to be at 3.4%. So if that rate also gets to actually downwards towards a 3% level, that will also indicate the start of a more pronounced interest rate cut cycle heading into 2026 and even in early 2027. So if that situation were to take place coupled with a downward projection in economic change in real GDP growth. So change in real GDP growth has been revised downwards in the previous dot plot projection in June as versus the March projection, where 2025 GDP growth has been revised downwards to 1.4% from the earlier projection or 1.6%. And even in 2026, it has been revised downwards to 1.6% to 1.8%, whilst the 2027 growth projection maintain the same at 1.8%. So if we start to see a downward drift in GDP growth projection to below 1.4%, to below 1.6% in 2026 and below 1.8% in 2027, that could actually potentially see further US dollar weakness. So bear in mind right now is that the US dollar index is clinging dangerously close to a key support level at 97.3, which we mentioned in our previous podcast. So right now, as we are speaking right now, it's trading at 97.4, down negative 0.2% intraday. So if we have a weekly close below 97.3, followed by a monthly close this month below 97.3, that could increase the risk of a pronounced downtrend in the US dollar and thereby kicking start a multi-month weakness or a multi-month bearish trend for the US dollar index.
Very interesting stuff, Kelvin. Thank you very much for joining us and we'll speak to you again next week.
My pleasure, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.